Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Howdy, everyone. It's not Ben. Oh, I can't do an American accent. I'll even try. Hi, everyone. It's Matt Hunter here. And it is Simcast as usual, but not. You have bonus Team GB here alongside me as always. Mr. Steve Wilkes. Hello, Steve Wilkeson. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hello, hello. How are we doing?
We're all good, mate. It's bonus British.
It's bonus British. We get 3 weeks of British.
As opposed to boneless British.
We're going to end up triple stinting.
Yeah, here we are. We're doing the full Christensen.
Oh, I love it. It's all good fun.
Yes, not to be confused with boneless British, which I'm pretty sure is something you get at KFC. Herbs and spices covered chicken outlets are available, but they're not the Colonel. Just saying. Although I will put it out there that there really should be inverted commas above the word fast when it comes to fast food at that particular outlet.
Oh, I was there the other day actually, and that was really slow. It was painfully slow.
I'm glad it's not just down here that does that. I've taken to use it as all things. Come on, dear listener.
I mean, is anything ever like anything particularly quick in Devon? Is there actually anything anyone hurries in Devon and Cornwall?
No.
Could say like.
See, there was a bit of a delay there. I did that for comic. That was comic timing. No. it's why we love it so much down here, because it's quite what are the kids calling it today? It's not chillaxed anymore, is it? It's chill, I believe, is that what the young people call it these days. And yet it's only the old people who move down here. And none of the young people can actually afford to stay here anymore. Yeah. Oh, come on, dear listener, like you were expecting anything different. Sorry if you were expecting the American crew, but alas, and alack. Like the Boston Tea Party over here.
Oh, dear.
But we're saving all the tea.
Have you done anything to do with motorsport at the weekend?
Yes.
We've forgotten something.
Oh, goodness me. Yes, it is Series 4, Episode 16, on April the 25th in the year of our Emperor. This is the thing, I'm thrown off because this isn't our normal week. I'm completely off kilter. In the year of our Emperor 2024, otherwise known as
314024, and it is still M3 because we haven't found a new millennium yet.
Be a bit worried if we've been doing the show long enough to do so, to be honest. Or for those of you of a Federation standing as such as me, that comes out to Stardate 77781.2. I believe that's all outstanding business accounted for. Anyway, back to the nonsense. Yes, sorry, you were asking. Real motorsport.
Did you do any real motorsport at the weekend?
I did not do real motorsport, but I did indulge in watching. I did watch the WEC from Imola.
I watched the replay of the start, and that was about it. Because I don't pay for it.
I would quite like most of the WEC to be at Imola. I won't lie. It was very good. I really enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
It was funny, because the end of the race, I don't know if you might remember, you may remember, the end of the race reminded me of the famous Grand Prix there when between Schumacher and Alonso, and there was one was chasing down the other in the hope to pass and win. And in this case, it was Toyota versus Porsche. The Porsche needing to pass and make up a four, I think it was about a 4 second gap to actually win because they had a pit lane infringement or some such. Alas, they did not quite do it. But it was very, very cool to see them try. And BMW did really well, which I was super impressed with.
It's always good to see BMW actually doing things.
Yeah, great day to be an M4 fan.
Apart from getting like removed from play at the start.
Oh, there was tray shuffling. I still haven't actually ascertained who caused that.
The onboard from the Alpine basically hits a
Peugeot, it hits another Peugeot, it hits something else, it hits the Peugeot back again, and then melee, yeah.
And like, I also thought when I watched it, like the replay of that for like the first time, I thought, oh, at least it's not iRacing public lobbies or anything like that.
I'll say, oh, somebody's safety rating has dropped like a stone.
Oh dear, this just. But yeah, it was absolutely mental.
It was really good.
Who thought that was not going to happen with the first like two corners of Imola, and then we're going like four wide?
Yeah, not smart.
But
yet, that was the most. Yeah. Yes, that was the most public lobby crash I think I've seen in a reasonable time that wasn't actually on the game. But it was a good race there. And actually, obviously, because it started dry, then you got the rain, and then it kind of started getting dry again towards the end. There was all sorts of shenanigans, which I really thoroughly enjoyed. And it just reminded me of like why sports cars is such a good thing to follow. That was just brilliant.
And also at the height of like how popular endurance racing and sports car racing is becoming, that race has only helped because it was like everywhere, if that makes sense, like all the way through.
Yeah. And I think they sold like 73,000 tickets.
Yeah, I didn't think Imola had 73,000 space capacity, to be honest. I thought, it's just in the woods.
Flooded somewhere. Or not flooded?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I would say they've achieved something that F1 didn't do last time insofar as they actually held the damn race.
Yes, that is true. They didn't actually hold it last time, did they?
No.
Which they should have done. Well, sort of.
Not seeing as half the paddock was underwater.
It's wet tyres, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway. But yeah, so that was really cool. I did thoroughly enjoy that. Did you indulge in any motorsports, sir?
I didn't. I did not.
Well, you just let the side down.
I know, I didn't. But I'm going to motorsport this weekend.
I was going to say, you are actually doubling down this weekend by actually being physically trackside.
Exactly.
And so, this is, of course, the Silverstone 500.
It is indeed.
Bumper grid for that, too.
Exactly. No Porsche, which I just don't like, but hey-ho, we have to move on. But there's a Ferrari, that's, I think. I think I read there's a Ferrari.
That is Ferrari Tempesta.
Tempesta, yeah.
Who have changed their car for the 18th season in a row. Just can't nail down something that they like.
Yeah, when you've got a garage full of cars, you might as well keep them all running.
Yeah.
Keeps the mechanics on their toes. But yeah, so it's going to be quite good though, because me and Ellie are going. She actually wants to go motor racing for the first like.
Well, there you go,
proper motor racing. We went to Goodwood, but modern motor racing, but we're also taking her brother as well, which is really cool.
Oh, cool. That'd be good.
And he wants to get into like engineering and motor, and he's interested in motorsport and stuff. So I thought no better way just to blow his mind in, go to Silverstone and walk around the paddock and see some race cars. So
pop your head into the college across the road or across the track to sort of say, see if there's anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So. But yeah, so that's my weekend coming up. Can't wait. Looking forward to that.
That will be interesting, actually, particularly if the weather's a bit hit and miss.
Yeah, I mean, Silverstone is a very, very desolate place when it's raining. So when it's your first time going to Silverstone as well.
Silverstone is the Cornwall of motorsport.
It is, isn't it?
It really is. Beautiful when it's sunny and just may as well be Chernobyl when it's not.
Yes. And any weather you're getting there, it's windy.
Yeah. Yeah.
30 degree heat, it's windy.
I maintain I've been there at the height of summer and it isn't sunburn I'm getting, it's windburn.
Yep.
But I still like it. It's one of the best, next to Brands actually. Brands has probably overtaken it now. I do like doing photography at Silverstone, but I'm running out of places that I can actually sort of take new and interesting pictures unless I'm actually like trackside, which hasn't happened since COVID. So whereas Brands, you can get good photos pretty much
anywhere, really.
Anytime. Are you still planning? Sorry, dear listener, we'll get to some sim racing eventually, but this is very important because the main thing about this, of course, we are motorsport fans. Therefore, we like to share our love of motorsport with our listeners and each other because that's the sort of community we are. Are you still planning on going to Super Touring Power?
It's on the cards. I don't have any athletics that weekend. So
perfect.
It's even better. If it was just me that goes, it will be just me. Or if Ellie wants to go, she'll come too.
Well, like I said, it's I'm not being funny. Walking around Brands is the equivalent of doing athletics, I think.
It is a bit of a mountain. Are they on the Indy Circuit or the Grand Prix?
Both.
Awesome. Like that.
One day is on the Grand Prix, one day is on the Indy Circuit.
And which days are you going?
Both days.
Oh, okay.
This is for my 40th. It's like I'm going to, and it's in lieu of, obviously, instead of going to Le Mans. So like I'm just going to go for the one day.
Fair enough.
Yes. I'm gonna park on the infield and get a decent location and then just use that as a base and explore.
Yep. That's fair enough.
Very much looking forward to. Yes.
Now we get on with some sim racing.
All right. Cool, Bennett.
I don't know. Shall we?
Pushy so-and-so. Well, it depends. Got anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. I'm eager to talk about...
I don't know.
I'm eager to talk about Forza Horizon because it really confuses me.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing. Stuff comes out on this sort of day and it's the sort of thing that Ben normally talks about because...
I know. We haven't had a Forza Horizon... topic.
No, I had to blow the dust off this particular topic because Forza Horizon 3, who knew, I didn't realize it was actually still going, is revealing a new Apex All-Stars Festival playlist kicking off today. There's no other two ways of putting it. This could have motorsport in it. I don't know how I feel about this. I wasn't a fan of it before, personally. Because what this basically does, it sort of revives the conversation that we've had every single time Horizon and Motorsport have kind of been coexisting, whereby we say, well, surely then Horizon is going to be really good, as it's an open world game. Horizon would be really, really good to keep all the road cars and performance stuff in and then use motorsport as your basis for motorsport stuff.
Who'd have thought?
And yet.
And yet, Forza Horizon have knocked it out of the park with idiocy.
Like, it's just a bit weird.
What I also see from this as well is that they had to have a quota of DLC packs and ran out of fresh ideas.
So they're bringing the stuff across from motorsport. Just to
exactly. They just imported five cars that sort of think that, oh yeah, these are really popular on here and bring them across.
I believe it's referred to as cross-pollination.
It's just laziness. I thought it was just laziness to me. Personally. But maybe there's some people that might want race cars in their horizon, but on their horizons. But I don't understand it. There's only one car that in the whole of this Apex Stars that I would say, yep, that would probably go on horizon, and that's the Evolution Time Attack car. Because I'm sure that's a pretty cool car to go round.
Yeah, like drifty stuff I'd kind of get. And I think when Horizon 4 was out, which was the UK one, I remember saying the rally stuff was a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because there were, you know, you had like the Peak District, the Lake District, parts of Scotland, and the, you know, all up around there, and you could actually make rally courses up, and it was not a bad idea. But having circuit races in there just seems a bit...
It's recycled.
It's not the Birmingham Super Prix or anything like that. So, I mean, there really is no kind of reasoning for it. So, so the cars that are going to be available through the playlist is the Ford GTLM number 66 from 2016. The Hyundai Elantra N, number 98, number 21, for 2021. The aforementioned Mitsubishi Lancer Evolution Sierra Enterprises Time Attack from 2015. The aging Porsche 911 RSR GT from 2017. Which of course has even that's changed since. And this is the one I really sort of struggling with. The Summit Racing Chevrolet Pro Stock Camaro. So it's a
drag car.
It's a drag car with 1400 brake horsepower.
Oh, that's gonna be brilliant going around mountain roads.
Yeah. Yes. That yeah, seems a little bit bizarre to me.
You know,
but...
Do you want to just stop the bus a second? I just realised when you read those out, when you read the Ford GTLM out and you said it's from 2016, I was like, Oh, that was only like a few years ago that I remember seeing that at Le Mans. Oh, wait, no, that was nearly a decade ago.
We saw the 17 one, which is exactly the same.
Yep, that was a long time ago.
And then, don't calling me cynical. So now they're adding in some cars that are paid DLC in Forza Motorsport as paid DLC into Horizon. So potentially double bubble for Microsoft here. So we have the BMW M8 GTE, which... just okay. The Cadillac Racing ATS VR, the Corvette C8R, the Mercedes AMG GT3, the Lexus RCF GT3, the 488 GTE, and the 911 GT3R. And to say, as we said, sort of a number of which are paid DLC for motorsport, which just seems a little bit cynical.
That's a bit weird, considering you paid for it once and you got to pay for it again.
Yeah, and so as we sort of said, it's regurgitated content again. And that pack is $7.99 for content potentially. If you own motorsport, you've already paid for.
Yeah, that is a proper joke. The whole lot of this.
I could have done a lot with this. Yeah, I'm less than comfortable with that. I think that's a bit of a grab. It's not really dissuading those who are constantly throwing about that Turn 10 are only in it for the money. Obviously, playground of the developers of Horizon 5, but you know, where does the content come from? And they're just not suitable for the type of the game. I just don't see the point in having them in it. It's just a bit unnecessary. So, you know.
Yeah, they could have done anything with this.
It upsets my little brain.
Yeah, don't know. Don't understand. Don't like it. Sort your life out. Dun-dun. And Microsoft.
Mind you, could be what the thing is. We sort of say, "Oh, blah 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 blah, isn't it good?" Blah, blah, blah. When was the last time you saw a Gran Turismo DLC that actually made you go, "Wow, I need to have a look at that"?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Every single one they've brought out, and I know they're sort of free, and they just add the stuff into the game, as opposed to obviously making you pay for it. But none of their content has really encouraged me to go back to it. It's all a bit, you know, like when they really, was it an ambulance? Was it an ambulance or a fire engine? I can't remember.
It was an ambulance.
It was an ambulance.
That was hilarious.
Call an ambulance, but not for me. Just stuff like that. I was just like, it's a bit gimmicky. You know, even if they've started going down the gimmicky route, what?
Yeah.
So let us know your thoughts, dear listener. What's your sort of thoughts on content that is being regurgitated from other sources? Because I won't lie, it irritates me a little bit. I sort of think, you know, when you bring out a brand new game, you kind of want to be bringing with it new content. You don't kind of want to be throwing out the same old stuff and hoping people are dumb enough to pay it again. I sort of feel that's a bit cheeky, if I'm honest. A bit cheeky.
You nicely alluded to Gran Turismo. And
And Skoda. Yeah.
And Skoda. And Skoda. I thought that was the car from that Speed Freaks movie or whatever it was from years ago, that white one. I think Speed Freaks or Speed or something. I don't know. It's like a
A Japanese anime film. Oh, God.
I can't remember what it was.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? I do, because, you know, they were promoing that massively at one of the FIA GT meets I went to years ago. I think it might have been, 2008. Something like that.
But, yeah, I thought that was that car for a second. I thought, oh, that is so cool. And then it read Skoda, and I was like, oh, that's... It's all right. It looks cool. But what on earth is it?
Speed Racer was the
Speed Racer. Okay, Speed. What's Speed Freaks?
No idea. Speed Freaks. Speed Freaks.
That's Warhammer.
Speed Freaks is a Speed Freaks, my dear fellow Warhammer aficionado. Is of course the Orc, not even racing game really, but Orc battle buggy game. That was a standalone tabletop thing that was released about, 5 years ago?
Yeah. They had some really cool models for that. Anyway, that was a tangent.
I got a feeling we actually talked about them as well on this show.
I remember years ago playing Formula Wah, and that was awesome.
Formula Wah.
Yeah. and that is really good.
Anyway, yes, yeah, so not Speed Freaks. If you're interested in understanding more about what Speed Freaks is, check out the Games Workshop website, maybe?
Yeah, I think they still
might still have it on there. Or certainly some of the Orc buggies and stuff like that will definitely be around. It's all part of the Speed Wire, isn't it?
Yes.
The Speed Wah.
I had to mentally spell that and I was like, I can't.
No, because it is warg, but you say war because they're meant to be Cockney saying war. Because for some funny reason, all Orcs are Cockney. If you ever listen to any of the audiobooks or any of the videos or anything that gets put out that has Orcs in it, that is talking like there he's from London. But much gruffer. much gruffer. Shoot as blood and teeth.
Yeah, that is quite funny, actually. Yeah, they do. Oh, dear. Right, Gran Turismo.
So not that.
Not that, and not the other thing either.
It does look like a speed racer thing. It's got a lot of active aero on it, which I quite like. So it's the first time that Škoda will be appearing in Gran Turismo. It is not lost on me, and this is the bit that makes you go, "Oh, for goodness sake!" So they've obviously brought out a Vision GT car as their sort of like entry into the Gran Turismo franchise, which is cool. As a electric supercar concept,
this is actually a real thing. Well, it's not real,
know.
but on paper in there somewhere, it's a real thing.
I think it must be
somewhere. Yeah.
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 But it's going to have about 1,071 brake horsepower and all-wheel drive, as is. I mean, let's put it this way. It's not a bloody Kodiak, is it?
No.
Or an Enyaq, or a Fabia.
I mean, if they brought out, like, I don't know, the Skoda Octavia or something like that, that would have been quite cool.
If they have the VR, I'm not being funny, if this is their entry, fair enough. And then if they start adding things like the various VRS editions of stuff into it, I will be very pleased, because the Octavia VRS is a bloody nice car.
Yeah.
So they've added that into the game, which is quite nice.
I like the press release for this, though. It says the roots of Skoda Motorsport go back more than 120 years with countless success. So you gave us
the Felicia?
What's Skoda 1 that isn't rallying?
I think literally nothing.
I can't think of anything they've won apart from a bit of rallying, which I don't think they've won a lot of rallying, have they?
They were kind of okay. They're or thereabouts. Did you know? Right. Did you know? So, the company that made the Renault Laguna BTCC models that I told you about, the 1:18s, the biggish scale ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Of which I have the 1998 car, the green Nescafe Blend 37 one, courtesy of Christmas. Thank you very much, Mum. Otto have announced, and I think just released, I was thinking, oh, cool, it'll be the Fabia, because the Fabia is like a bloody nice-looking rally car, especially from like 2003 to 2005. They released the Octavia that they used prior to that, which...
Ooh.
Armin Schwarz was the main sort of driver I remember from those days. Maybe Didier Auriol might have driven it, possibly. But yeah, I was like, okay, was not expecting that to be a thing. So that's quite cool. So you can get for those who like rallying oddities, you can get yourself the Škoda Octavia from I think it's probably 97 or 98, give or take. A bad looking car, just a bit weird that's the one they've done. I see you're blown away by my model.
Yeah, knowledge. I'm trying to think of what was even else. I was genuinely trying to think what else was rallying around that time in 97, but I was two.
So that would have been just before. So the Focus came in 99. So they were still using the Escort. You had the Seat Cordoba. The Seat Cordoba.
I've got you to had that one.
Yes.
I've never heard of a Seat Cordoba.
So have you not? Oh my God. It's because you're young. I maintain the World Rally Championship from about 1997 to about 2000 was probably peak rally. because you had some bloody good cars and you had some absolutely epic drivers. You had Juha Kankkonen was still in with Ford. You had the Toyota Corolla, which ran a different livery at every single... It was all sponsored by Castrol, but they ran a different livery at every single venue that they went to. And the one that they ran at Rally GB, I think it was in 98, was all umbrellas, which some of us took personally. but and also you had the Lancer Evo 5, maybe just 6.
Why does
Tommy Mäkinen.
Why does this Seat Cordoba from 1997 look like a Vauxhall Vectra?
I've no idea.
Something tells me it probably was a Vauxhall Vectra at the same time.
Something tells me there's something wrong with your eyes.
It looks like a Vauxhall Vectra.
If you say so. It looks nothing like a Vauxhall Vectra.
Oh, it does.
It doesn't, for a start. For a start, it's a hatchback. Fake. Anyway, yeah, so you had that. There was, I can't think what else there was around then. It wasn't quite the 206. The 206 came, did some initial rallying in, I think, in 99 with Gilles Panizzi. And maybe, because Gronholm prior to that, I forgot, had been rallying with Subaru and Ford before he went to Peugeot and did really, really well, obviously, winning titles. So, and Škoda had the Octavia. I'm going to just quickly check who was running that, because I cannot for the life of me remember. Škoda Octavia rally car. 1999.
There's like people listening. People listening to this, they're going to be like, oh, it's such and such.
So, 100%.
You'll get 100%. This question is worth 5 Team UK points.
I think I know who was rallying for. I know Armin Schwarz must have been one. Because Armin Schwarz was always either Rav, I think it was Robin Perra, might be Tony Gardemeister.
You're saying names I've never heard of.
Oh my god, you're so young.
The funny part is I'm nearly 29. I'm saying names I've never heard of.
Yeah, what do you know what really bothers me is the fact that Callie Robin Perra, who is the son, obviously, of Harry Rovenpera, Callie and Harry. I remember watching Rovenpera Sr. Starting out in his rally career, and now his son's bloody won it. So imagine how that makes me feel. That's right. So Bruno Thierry, I remember him. Roman Cresta, that's a cool rally name. Jan Kopecky, you might know him from Rally 2.
No.
He still does stuff. Kenneth Eriksson.
I know of Eriksson, but I don't know anything else.
Stig Blomqvist.
No.
One of the most famous rally drivers of all time. Oh, God. Didier Auriol and Tony Gardemeister. So actually, I was Bob on. Except for the... there you go, Armin Schwarz, yeah. So its highest place was third at the 2001 Safari.
Fair enough.
Awesome, it is a very successful, what a successful brand they are.
Very successful brand.
And now they're in Gran Turismo.
With a fake, make-believe car.
Fake make-believe car, as opposed to a fake real car.
Exactly.
God. What I will say is that you don't know what they're going to do with this, because, of course, the Vision GT that Aston Martin went into this with, I'm pretty certain, ended up coming out as the Vulcan.
Yeah.
or even the Valkyrie. Might be both, but it might even be both. And of course, the Valkyrie is about to become their Le Mans car.
Yeah, but this is not going to become a Le Mans car.
No.
You've got more chance that Dick Dastardly is going to be taking this car and doing, like, the Gumball 5000 or something.
I'm a little concerned about one of the other cars that's coming out in the pack, for Gran Turismo that this is part of. It's the Honda in particular. There's no other way of putting it. So you know how Honda had the Fit, which is for everyone else, is the Jazz.
The Jazz.
Was our last show. Nice. There's something in this called, and I really hope that this doesn't stick, called the Honda Afeela. Hello, I'd like Afeela. I'm sorry, sir, that's not a service we provide. This is a Denny's. Sorry, this is a Wendy's. Maybe in a Denny's. I'd like a feeler. Maybe don't ask your other half for that.
What car do you drive? I drive a Honda Afeela.
A Honda Afeela. I have a Honda Afeela. Oh, dear. That's not good.
Isn't Honda like the stuff of dreams or whatever? Or Power of Dreams?
Power of Dreams, yeah.
Power of Dreams with your feeler.
Yeah. No. I've got feeler dreams. No. It's not good, is it?
It's not good. That's the end of that tangent.
Yeah, there's Bosch straight on from that.
That's got to also be the show title name now. Honda.
I've got a feeler.
Got a feeler.
Oh, dear. And we're not talking about trainers. Find out after some time with all these companies demanding that we call them what they're supposed to be called. They're probably called Filer or something like that, for all we know. Oh, dear. Should we talk? Do you remember a few weeks ago? Hopefully the listeners do, in and amongst our random rants when we talk about, you know, all this sort of rubbish, and actually we occasionally do talk about actual things that are actually relevant. We were talking about how it's when we were talking about the Silverstone Museum.
Yeah.
And we were saying how it, you know, sim racing has a really good opportunity to effectively become a living motorsport museum, whereby all these circuits that potentially might get turned into houses or whatever over the course of time.
Yeah.
You know, Pokerpoke in New Zealand, for instance, is obviously being turned into houses, I'm pretty sure. And I know various other places in Australia that's been the case for a few of them. I think Kyalami was at risk of it at one point. Anyway, what if it went the other way? Because interestingly, in Australia, I nearly did the accent, but I respect the Australians too much to do that. There is a circuit being a $95 million circuit being built called Black Rock Motorsport Park. Or Black Rock Motor Park, which is being built in Wakefield.
Not that one.
Not that one. In New South, quite a bit warmer. In New South Wales, all the circuits are down there for some reason. I can't imagine why. It's a big old circuit as well.
Yeah,
it's a 5.25-kilometer racetrack, go kart track, driver training, luxury accommodation, and function centre. And cafe.
And a cafe. That's the important part.
Yeah, it's going to bring more. It's going to bring 450 jobs during construction, and as near as makes no difference, 250 jobs with the circuit running. And it's in Assetto Corsa now.
That's quite cool.
So basically what they've done is... they wanted to show what the circuit's going to be capable of. So it's been fully realised in bloody good detail, I might add. in Assetto Corsa so that people can get a really good idea as to how the circuit's going to flow, what sort of racing you could potentially have there. I mean, it's going to be V8s, isn't it? Sorry, supercars.
Supercars. Yeah. I mean, it's, because it's like 3.5 mile long, that's a good length as well to do.
I'm hoping there's some sort of variant, like track variant. I'm going to have to download this, I think. I'm sort of hoping that there's going to be some sort of track variants as well.
Yeah, I like this. I like the fact that they've put it into Assetto first and everything, and then just like moved it across. And I think that's really good.
I think
it was designed. Oh no!
What is it, Tilke?
It was. So it's going to have loads and loads of fast flowing corners, and then a stop deady bit, and then you go again.
It is, I won't lie, it is a bit annoying that I can't actually see an actual track map of it. Which is a little infuriating. What I can hope, though, is the fact that unlike most Tilke circuits, they will actually, what I do love about a lot of Australian circuits is the fact that the fans can still be quite close to what's going on. Sometimes a little too close, but close to what's going on. So that would be quite good. But yeah, I just thought it was a really cool thing. I thought,
it's a very different way of approaching it, and get some publicity for the track as well before it's even like happened, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There's even an online competition going on as well for hot lapping. They've got to use GT3 cars. Hot lap the circuit and you could potentially win $100 Australian dues.
Dollary dues. That's pretty cool.
Not what they're called. It's not what they're called, is it? Sorry to any Australian listeners. Does that mean if they don't pay for something, does their check bounce? Hey.
No, it goes because they're upside down. It goes the other way.
I don't even know what that means.
I thought
that was a really, really cool. A really, 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 really cool idea, because that just means, it just means that people really get to experience these places for the. And I think that's a lot, you know, for a lot of people, that is how they discover circuits, even within their own country. You know, let's face it, there's a lot of circuits that you and I can race on, you know, can race at, can air quotes visit. Through the power of sim racing that we're never ever going to get to go to in real life, realistically.
Yep.
100%. Some of them even within our own country. But, and if you're in a bigger country like America, then that makes a lot more sense than our pokey little island that we are on. But, you know, like my first experiences of a lot of the British circuits was through gaming. You know, a lot of the Toka circuits.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I experienced on the Toka games before I ever got to go there. But what it meant was when I did eventually get to go there, I at least kind of knew where I wanted to go and watch from.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, it's a brilliant idea. And potentially it's a really good idea of like engaging with the local community as well. So, look, this is what we're going to bring. This is the excitement that it can kind of develop and potentially bring to the local economy and this kind of thing. You know, it's not as irritating and horrendous as you might think it's going to be.
Just don't listen to the residents of Silverstone.
I don't know, I can't hear them over the racing. Hey.
But they're really quiet on one weekend of the year. Really quiet. Sweet. They don't moan when that's on.
Yeah, only one. Yeah, because they've all sold their gardens and stuff to people who want to camp for that one.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool little project, and I it's the sort of thing I'd really like to see a bit more of, because I sort of think, you know, it is a great way to engage with communities and stuff and get them to understand the benefits the motorsport can actually bring to a region as well. So I was reading it wasn't done the same way at all, obviously, because it was a very long time ago, but the story of like how Bathurst got built, it was kind of lent on that it would, you know, if we did this, ostensibly we can develop the roads and make the roads a lot better, which will benefit all the locals and this, that, and the other. And, oh, by the way, it means we can race on them and, you know, make some money for the local economy and the town and whatnot. And, oh, look, they're racing on it. And, oh, that's happened. Is a very abridged version of it, but the actual story is very, very cool. I bloody love Bathurst.
People just need to realise that motorsport actually does have the benefits of, like, not just annoying people and just it's really noisy. There is actually economic benefits of motorsport, like, everywhere.
Well, what people don't realise is the majority of the tech that's in their cars that makes them more efficient, that makes them be able to see further,
stop,
to drive more easily, to stop, to go, to not be damaging to the environment, etc., 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 is all thanks to motorsport.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, to them, it's noisy and annoying, and I don't like it. Anyway, I ain't got time for those people. So we shall leave that. Should we talk about... do a little bit of F1 Manager, because F1 Manager is a thing. We haven't really touched on it too much. But the 2024 one is still on its way to us. Obviously, there'll be little bits of changes to it. They've changed to from what's called a morale system to a mentality system.
Oh, that really does make a difference.
I don't know. It just sounds a little bit more coachy.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it sounds like it's going to be more. It's going to have more an effect on how things play out within the game. You know, how drivers are interacting with the team, with their fellow drivers, how they act on track, all that kind of thing. One of the things I really, really liked that they're adding. So, obviously, every season, the pit boxes are generally arranged by the finishing order of the previous year. That's never been sort of simulated in this kind of game before, but it will be now.
Oh, that's nice. That's like
a so
nice
I quite little, like that.
That's a yeah. nice little thing. Quite cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was actually a nice little addition. I'm sort of really glad that they've picked up on that. You can poach drivers as well, which is quite good. There's other little things like track surface is going to be more rubbered in. To be honest, the visuals, like the actual race day visuals, I didn't have any issue with. I thought they were pretty good, and the sort of TV presentation thereof. And the filters they use to make it look more like a TV presentation were always really good. So that's a really good positive to me, as far as I'm concerned. They keep adding these little details in. I really wish it wasn't an annual release still. I don't think it needs to be. Just do a paid DLC for updated content to add an extra genuine season into it and then build it up year on year would make more sense.
Yeah, I think it needs just to like just keep dressing it up a bit more every time.
Yeah. So obviously you can simulate races now, which I thought you could do anyway, but apparently you couldn't.
I thought you could as well.
Yeah. So
well, I think in the actual F1 simulate... game.
Yeah, so I know you could simulate qualifying and that sort of thing, but apparently you can simulate racing this now, so which, in fairness, is no bad thing, because for the first one, which is the one I had, I don't think you could really, like, mid-race pause either. It was kind of like, well, you do the whole thing, or you don't. But yeah, it's looking nice. The visuals are coming in even better. And just these little things they're adding to it, just it's going to make it a bit more of a visceral experience, which is never a bad thing. I was going to touch on F1 24 and how they're still using the same engine. I think we kind of touched on that last week, actually. There's been a few more bits revealed. as far as we've now got a proper trailer out, we've seen that. They've released a few feature videos, which they did for WRC in fairness, but I actually cared about that. I can't get excited about this.
I haven't got excited about an F1 game for probably 10 years.
I think if they'd done something really different, like if they'd done, well, to all intents and purposes, EA F1 9902, I would have I'd be jumping on that. If they had changed the graphics engine and gone for something really up to date and something that really moved the game on, no pun intended, I'd be up for that too. But it's just feeling very much more of the same. Which is
it's almost like taking all the cars from a different game and putting them into a DLC.
Well, yeah.
It's just like, cool. I know games, you can't have a new engine every single iteration of your game. I get that. That is just not financially viable, and that's just not viable. But with F1 as well, you need to be making things new, like really new every time.
Mm.
Or adding in just different things, different ways of doing your gameplays and things. And like they just brought out F2 as well, didn't they, in this one? Is it all the previous one that you can do? And I think that they need to be doing, like, it needs to be F4s, 3s, 2s, and then going to F1, if you know what I mean. Like, the whole formula package of the weekend.
Yeah.
And you could do a season in every single one, and you can progress that sort of thing. And you can go
because I was just going to say, because I think the only thing that they don't hold the rights to, would be Carrera Supercup,
which they don't need. They don't need that. That's not like,
no,
as cool as it is. For
completion's sake, you would, but yeah, you don't need it. You want the single seater ladder in there.
Yeah, and I just think doing that would be so much more better and a radical way of doing a Formula One game as well, because then you can go from Formula 3 and then go up to Formula 2, and always even like having some sort of like Motorsport Manager-esque type thing in. Not, I know they're different games, but like you can run sort of do a bit more control of the team principal side of things, if that makes sense. And have a bit more developed way of where your team goes with performance updates and things like that. So if you, for instance, did like multiple seasons with one team, and in one year you came sixth in the constructors or something, you only have this amount of money, and then if like you into the next year you're a bit handicapped because you could have scored two or three more points and got fifth and got more money to play with for the year. You know what I'm trying to go with? Like, it's a bit more story based and a bit more, rather than just racing, if that makes sense. Like, you feel a bit more immersed in what you're trying to achieve. And a bit more sort of dependent on you scoring points for the team, rather than just like, because in these like races and things like that, for like your online stuff, when I used to do it, like, you used to almost like win like every race or come third every race or top whatever. But if there was a bit more thing about like your teammates doing things, and you've got to try and like manage that side of it as well, if that makes sense.
Because
it is meant to be a team sport. So yeah, anyway, that's my rant for Formula One.
I almost forgot, because I obviously didn't think about this news, because we all thought it was going to be Team US, but it's actually us again. Do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Fanatec and Thomas Jachemeyer leaving, the founder of Fanatec, leaving as the CEO? Well, there has been a press release, which I shall now read. Basically, it says, on April 15th, the Supervisory Board of Endor AG appointed Andreas Ruff as the company's new chairman and CEO. Andreas has extensive experience, as well as valuable network in the area of transformation and restructuring of medium-sized companies. What a weird sentence.
That is a very weird sentence.
Yeah. Andreas Ruff said, "Hello, Fanatec fans."
Oh, no.
Promising start. This has not been written by him. I am thrilled to join Fanatec and work with this... I'm going to go with he's probably got a very similar thing and then just puts insert company name here by the sounds of it. I am thrilled to join Fanatec and work with this passionate team. Right now, my priority is to tackle delivery issues arriving from overwhelming demand. Rest assured, we are diligently working to return to optimal operations. Once resolved, we'll refocus our energy on crafting remarkable sim racing hardware. So basically, right. we're going to stop promoing new stuff that's coming out, but we have no idea when it's coming out, and we're going to focus on getting the stuff that people have already ordered since November actually to them. And then we might think about releasing some new things. All the while, those ungrateful wretches who have Fanatec stuff, I can say because I used to be one of them, would be going, but I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. Anyway, because nobody's ever happy.
That's a very odd press release.
It is a little bit. It continues.
Okay. Go on.
We extend our heartfelt thanks to Thomas Jackemeyer, who founded the company and created many groundbreaking products with a lasting impact on the entire industry. His vision and innovative ideas were instrumental in shaping Fanatec into what it is today. And we want to thank you, the Sim Racer community, for your patience. They have, trust me, if you see some of the groups, they've not got patience. Your enthusiasm for Fanatec fuels our drive to keep pushing. Here's to an exciting chapter ahead. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, everybody's going to Simagic and...
yeah, pretty much. Mm. Well, I'm happy they've done that. I'm happy they are at least attempting to be on the right course. But it does seem like they've just appointed someone that the bank wanted them to appoint.
Yes.
To keep the money rolling and the shares above board.
And it also says to me that originally when they were going to keep Thomas on for a bit because of his networking and all this and the other, that by the sounds of it, is no longer the case.
No, it doesn't.
Which I think is very sad. But
no. He's probably got another job somewhere. He's probably gone to somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to think of a place where he might actually go, but I couldn't. So
he's probably more interested in finishing off the season in GT2, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean that might help.
Yeah. So that was just a bit of a strange one. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah. So Fanatec. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Meanwhile, just very quickly, just before we go, just to quickly mention that on the up supplier, Mozza, who of course sponsor Jimmy Broadbent in all things racing this season, they are also partnering up with Lamborghini for the Real Race Super Trofeo 2024, which kicked off a couple of days ago. Again, another one of these developers, one of these motorsport companies hoping to bridge the gap between virtual and real-world racing. It's becoming as annoying. That state, bear in mind, we used to use it a lot in the old Toro days. It's becoming as annoying to me as built from the ground up. But we do get it. So they're using the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo 2 in ACC. Which is really good, and Mozza is going to be providing their sim equipment to the racing drivers so that they have the tools that they need to compete at their best.
I like it. It's pretty good.
It is.
It's pretty good.
And I do like Lone in Venice. I do really like that series as well. So
yeah, it's a good fun series.
So yeah, so cool. Nice to see Lamborghini fully engaging with the esports community, and they're going to need some more drivers because they've effectively been told they've got to run two hypercars from next year or else. There we go. So there you go, bonus Brit show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for listening. We had wondered whether we might get interrupted by a wayward Floridian, but I think he's had other plans, but that's fine. So I've been Matt Hunter. Steve Wilkinson has been himself. He is off to spend a bumper amount of time at Silverstone with a 10K.
That's next week. So next week's show will be the pre-show of that one.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. So we are doing this slightly earlier. You will be hearing it slightly earlier, but we will be doing the show slightly earlier to cater the fact that Steve is mad and wants to do running things.
DRS.
God. He will be at the Silverstone 500 this weekend, so do check him out for any tweets or Instagrammy nonsense about that. I will not. I'm not even at a dog show this weekend either. I'm actually free. We will see you next week for week 3 of Team UK does Simcast. See you soon. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.